Our first guest, I can't thank her enough for coming on and giving us updates during this pandemic. It's the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Lori Lightfoot. How are you, Mayor?
Well, how are you, man?
I love the live music today on your Instagram page. Who was that woman that was singing?
You know what? I don't know who it was yet this morning. We're doing it at 10, at 12, and again at 5 o'clock, so I've got to look at the schedule. But we've been doing this for the last 3 weeks and really trying to feature Chicago artists and just give some people some enjoyment. I mean, we're all, you know, Chicago's a great music town.
Yep.
Some would say, and I would agree, the best in the world. And it's been difficult not to get out to various venues. But this is another way over the course of a Sunday just to let people, you know, access the music, showcase our artists, and have a little fun.
I loved it. You know, we had the governor on last Sunday, and we talked about when he was running for office. We were talking about different things. When you were running for mayor of Chicago, we talked crime, we talked neighborhoods. We never thought we'd be in this position talking about just keeping people alive. There's absolutely no way to prepare for that, is there?
No, there really isn't. This is like a time really like no other. I've talked to a lot of people who have seen a lot of things happen in this town, and no one can remember anything quite like this. You know, we have circumstances where you see it happening in other parts of the world, and you, or even in the United States, you see tornadoes and floods and hurricanes, and you think, there but for the grace of God go I. But this is, for better or worse, the great uniter.
Yeah, it's just crazy. The timeline, you extended it to May 30th. Why now May 30th?
Well, I think because, and really that was the governor that did that. The reason is simple. While we're making progress in flattening the curve, we haven't bent the curve. And by that, I mean we're still continuing to see an increase in the number of cases, the number of hospitalizations, the number of deaths. We're making progress. We're way better than where we were before, but we still have a long way to go.
What do you tell the restaurant owners and small business owners in the city of Chicago?
Well, you know, that's a hard one, right? Because they've just been crushed. There's no two ways about it. And I think people understand why we needed to shut down these congregate settings, and they're definitely paying off. But I will say this, as we see the progress and pray every day for the cases to start to decline, at the same time, we have an eye on other parts of the world that have already been through what we've been through, bent the curve, seen the decline, and are slowly starting to open up. And the National Restaurant Association has given some guidance. We're looking at other places across the world. So I think there's a way eventually,
right,
that we can reopen bars and restaurants and do it safely. First and foremost, we got to make sure those employers are safe, but we also have to make sure that the patrons that come to restaurants and bars are safe. We're not there yet. As I said, we got to see a sustained decline,
right,
of all those indicators, but we are planning. And we're planning for the rebirth and reopening of Chicago.
We're talking with Mayor Lori Lightfoot of Chicago. Businessman Willie Wilson has to be a smart man because he's worth millions. But I've always said that Willie's got a little crazy in him. Did Willie Wilson really ask the city to give him millions of dollars up front in cash to help with these protective masks?
Yes, he did. He reached out to me. Now it's been weeks ago, and I put him in touch with the person at the time who was handling all these different requests for procurement. And I followed up and I said, all right, so what's the story? What are the terms? Because Dr. Wilson told me, you know, I've got these masks. I can get them here right away.
Right.
Which of course sounded good. But then when you started getting into the details, there were a couple issues. Number one, he was providing masks that we already had a large stockpile of. So there wasn't a great need for us to purchase them. But he's a local guy, so I told my folks to dig a little deeper. But we're not giving anybody cash. You know, taxpayers expect us to be prudent and responsible with their hard-earned dollars. And think about any transaction that you would ever dare enter into. Are you going to give everybody, somebody, all the money up front?
Right.
And give it to them in cash? What leverage do you have? What are they? What's their responsibility to deliver? And I'm not trying to impugn the integrity of Dr. Wilson. Quite the contrary. He's done some remarkable things across the city, and he's got a very, very charitable heart. But business is business. I'm not giving anybody cash.
No.
Definitely not all of it up front.
Good for you. I mean, that when I read that, I'm like, oh, my gosh, is he crazy? I just don't get it. I want to ask you, there's a coronavirus disparity here in Chicago. You introduced the coronavirus racial equity effort here in the city, targeting three neighborhoods. Can you talk about that and what we're going to be doing in those neighborhoods?
Sure. When we started seeing the data about infections and deaths, numbers started jumping off the chart, and that was that African Americans in the city were getting infected at exponentially higher rates and were dying at the time seven times more than any other demographic across the city. I mean, those are literally breathtakingly appalling numbers. I mean, staggering. So we knew we had to do something, and so we immediately formed our Racial Equity Rapid Response Team. We partnered up with a group called Westside United that's been working on the west side of the city now for a number of years, working on health and life expectancy disparities. They've got a great model. So we've taken that model to the other three neighborhoods. And what we've done is really connected up with stakeholders, institutions, people on the ground there to really dig into what's going on in those neighborhoods. We've got primary mission, which is educate about what the virus is, because unfortunately, in many places in the Black community, there was a myth that Black folks can't get it. And the truth is, the first death in the city was an African-American woman. So we had to bust through the myths. We had to educate people about what the virus is, give them tools that they could use to help themselves, meaning on what social distancing means, hand washing, sanitation, getting masks into those neighborhoods, but also listening to what the lived experiences of people in those neighborhoods. So, for example, in Auburn-Gresham, we work with a number of different community groups there. And what we found is one of the biggest issues facing folks in that community was calls for food. There was a huge lack of security around food.
That's
so we
terrible.
Were able to immediately see that issue and then help solve it at the local level. We've now held three tele-town halls in all three neighborhoods, 500 to 600 people attending at each of them, and it's been remarkable feedback. But the thing we have to recognize is that, you know, a lot of people are hyper-connected. They've got the internet, they've got an iPad, they've got this, they've got that. But a lot of people in our city still aren't connected. The digital divide remains real. So thinking about more creative ways, using local stakeholders, trusted neighbors, to get the word out and get people connected up to health services, that's been critically important.
It's got to be taxing on you every single day. You have to remind people, wash your hands, distancing. I mean, how many times have you done this for over the last, 42, 43 days, whatever it has been?
More times than I can count.
Oh, my
gosh. But you know what? I'll do it a million times a day if it saves lives.
It does. And you were talking about feeding people in those neighborhoods. You're working with the Salvation Army and the Chicago Food Depository. And I've always said they do God's work here in the city. And they've stepped up their game along with the city and the mayor's office to feed people during the pandemic.
Yeah. Look, one of the things that we were most worried about was our vulnerable communities. And when you kind of deconstruct that, one of the major issues, aside from shelter, is food. And so we knew right away that we needed to connect up the whole pantry network. And I get to give a shout out and praise to the Archdiocese. The Cardinal and his team have been absolutely great. He told me, whatever you need from us, we're here to serve. And they've been great partners with us, along with the Greater Chicago Food Depository, the Salvation Army, and United Way, and a lot of other folks who are literally seeing this huge uptick in the number of people that need food. Because it's people are losing their jobs, they're having difficulty connecting up with unemployment insurance. The need for food has become even more acute. But I think we're meeting that need, but more and more needs to be done.
We're talking with Mayor Lori Lightfoot for a few more minutes. I want you to look ahead. I want you to look into your crystal ball come May 30th when things start to open up. Let's say they start opening up. What's the vision for restaurants, for salons, for dry cleaners? Tell me your vision. Just walking into a restaurant, how do we do that? I'm sure you've had this conversation.
Yeah. Well, dry cleaners are already open. They've been open the whole time. But when you think about those businesses that have been deemed non-essential, you got to, again, assuming we see this decrease in cases, which is a threshold gating issue, but assuming we get there, what I'm seeing from other places around the world, and Atlanta is going to be a place that I'm looking very carefully at. Now, I support Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, who says it's too soon. Unfortunately, the governor has said, I don't care, throw open the doors. We're not going to do that in Chicago.
Right.
We're going to take a measured, step-by-step approach because we don't want to have the experience of Japan or Singapore or some other countries that opened up too soon. They flipped the switch. What we're going to do is we're going to turn the dimmer. And by that, I mean we're going to look at what's the risk and what's the level of employment. And restaurants and bars are obviously very much on our mind. But, you know, for example, some places are saying you can only open at 25% capacity. You can't have parties of more than four or, in some instances, six. All your employees have to be trained. They have to wear gloves and masks through the entire dining experience. So we're looking at how do we do this in a way that makes sense, that keeps the workers and keeps the patrons safe. That is part of the mission of the recovery task force that I announced this week. Those are the kind of nuanced details that this group is going to dig into across a wide variety of sectors, as well as looking at what do we need to do to heal the social fabric of our city.
My mother is 85 years old, living in Peoria, getting antsy. She walks around the neighborhood doing well. How is your mother doing?
You know, she's doing fine. My mom's 91. She's not as mobile as she used to, but she's always been pretty active, and she's very active in her church. So not having church service has really been, I think, a trying experience for her. She's got a whole network of friends that she talks to on the phone every day, but it's not the same as basically having your life confined to, you know, the four corners of your house.
Right.
But she's hanging in there, and, you know, after a lot of pleading, because it took her, my mother's a stubborn lady, it took her a while, but
like
after a lot
mom.
Of pleading and begging on my part, I was able to convince her that she really did need to stay in. Now, Ohio, which is where she lives, is probably going to open up a little sooner than what we do here. But I've still told her, Mom, you're 91. Mm-hmm. You got underlying heart condition. I don't want you out of the house.
We're all having the same conversation with our parents, aren't we?
It sounds like it.
I got to ask you before you go, are you watching The Last Dance on ESPN about the Bulls in the 90s like everybody else in Chicago?
Oh, yeah. There were people last Sunday night that were trying to call me, text me. I'm like, hey, The Last Dance is on. I'll call you at 10 o'clock.
It is so good. Mayor, I sincerely appreciate you taking time. You've been checking in with us every few weeks. You know, you mentioned the Cardinal, who we have on from time to time. The governor was on last week. Congressman Quigley is going to be on at 1:30. I really appreciate your time. I know you're busy, and wish you the best.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. And to your listeners, keep stay the course, because this is working. It's tough and it's frustrating, but we are making progress because people are taking the stay-at-home order seriously.
Right. Thank you, Mayor. Have a great day.
You too.
That is Mayor Lori Lightfoot taking time out to come on with us today.